coming. All right, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. Do you want boldness to witness and to step out for God and stand on the Word and be unmovable? This is what you need. You need the Holy Spirit to be in control. And if you'll do that, then you'll have the boldness as we're about to read here in Acts chapter 2, verse 14. Peter is who we're going to be talking about. 14, it says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is about the third hour of the day." Now you remember some of them started mocking, saying that, "Oh, these guys are full of new wine. They're drunk." Peter says, "They're not drunk." He says in verse 16, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall be, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, here, I want to stop here because we're going to go probably all the way to verse 41. But here what we see is the boldness of Peter. Now, you remember, Peter, not long before this day, was basically, he gave up. He says, "Hey, I'm going fishing." You know, Jesus had told him, "Go wait. Go wait for the Comforter." Peter says, "I'm going fishing," and took a bunch of them with him. Well, actually, all of them. But now what we see, and before that, Peter did what? Peter says, "Hey, I don't know him." You know, when Jesus got arrested, "I don't know who Jesus, no, I don't know this guy." And even turned around and cursed. One of them said, "Well, yeah, but you act like it, and your speech kind of gives off that you're one of them." And he said, "No, blankety blank, 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 I am not one of them." You know? And warming his hands on the fire. And so we see Peter doing that and then turning around and telling everybody, "Hey, let's go fishing. Let's just go. I'm tired of waiting," basically. But now what do we see? Boy, we see Peter on fire. He's about to preach a sermon to them. And I want you to remember, this was a Jew preaching to Jews on a Jewish holy day about the resurrection of the Jewish Messiah. Now think about that. Whom they, or their nation, if you want to put it, had put to death by crucifixion. Here he is. He's standing in front of all these people. And for all he knew, some of them might have been some of them that accused him of being one of them. He's preaching to all these Jews out here about the Jewish Messiah that they didn't want to accept. And he's going to tell them, "Hey, you guys crucified him." You know, he's got boldness. You know, he's really stepping up. And he explained what happened in verse 14 through 21. Basically, the Holy Spirit got a hold of them and got control And you know, they allowed the Holy Spirit to have that control, and they could really step out there, and the boldness started coming out in them. And so as he preached this to them, hey, there were people going to get saved here in a minute. We're going to see. Boy, it got to their heart. Now, second over here in the prophecy of David, let's go through verses. Well, let me finish 22 here. I'll start at. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. In other words, he said, hey, you saw him walking around. You're an eyewitness of this man that came down here that claimed to be Jesus Christ the Messiah. He done miracles in front of you. He didn't do it behind your back. He didn't hide. He done it right out in the wide open for all of you to see. And he said, 23, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up. Amen? Woo! That's good. Having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held of it. Now, he spoke about from David. Verse 25, David prophesied. He says, for David, that's King David now, for David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. David said, I'm right here. I am unmovable. I'm going to stick with what I know, what the Lord has showed me. Therefore, did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Listen, we can rest tonight because of what Jesus did for us. And this is King David prophesying this, what, probably 1,000 years before all of this took place. And he's resting in it. He said, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Now you see, Jesus came through the lineage of David, and it was prophesied that David would raise him up, and he was going to sit on his throne. One of these days, I don't know how many years from now, after the rapture, at some point, the tribulation is going to start. And there will be a 7-year tribulation period here on earth. And then all of us that were raptured, we're going to come back with Christ, and Christ is going to fulfill that prophecy. He's going to sit on the throne of David for 1,000 years right here, right there in Jerusalem. And that was the prophecy that they were talking about. Third, the witness of the believers. Let's read on verse 30. What did we leave off at? 31? Yep. 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. In other words, hey, they said, I'm a witness of him. Listen, they saw him. Not only his apostles, but the rest of his church, which altogether at that time was about 120. Not only them, but upwards or maybe a little more than 500 people saw Jesus walking around, and they're like, wait a minute. Wasn't He the one they just crucified? There was plenty of witnesses that Jesus was still here. We are witnesses of Christ, the Lord and Savior. Therefore, verse 33, being by the right hand of God exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, He has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. In other words, hey, He promised when I leave, the Holy Spirit will come back. And they were all seeing it. They were seeing the boldness that the Spirit put on them. Listen, when you allow the Holy Ghost to work within you and to really take control, you've got boldness. It won't be a problem going and talking to somebody. It won't be a problem knocking on somebody's door. And, you know, we've knocked on somewhere around 2,000 or so doors, plus or minus. But, and think about it. If you think about since we've started, I don't think we hadn't had somebody show up that ain't been here in a while or either a visitor come in. And it wasn't any of them that we've been visiting until today. And then all of a sudden today somebody comes in that we visited, what, over a month ago. What? Hey, that's a blessing. And it's because the boldness of the Spirit. See, the Spirit worked through Brother Ryan because he picked her husband up after a wreck. Well, then the Spirit worked through us when me and Deanna and some of the rest of us were out there knocking on doors and she answers the door. She said, well, you know, I'm going to come to that church because your husband, her husband rode with some guy named Ryan's, what she said, that went to your church. I said, well, good deal. Well, it was a month ago, though, but she showed up. Amen. Hey, that's a blessing. But if we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, these things will happen. These things will, you know, we'll start seeing the results. God says He will bless when we do what He asks us to do. And if we start going out and we start witnessing and we're knocking on the doors, listen, God blesses when we're out there doing what we're supposed to do. He will. It's a proven fact. Makes you feel good, too. All right, verse 34. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he himself, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Now, verse 36, he says, therefore, let all of us of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this. Now, listen to what these people said. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Oh, you know, that's good when the Holy Spirit is working and the Word of God goes out. Listen, the Word of God does not return void. It doesn't come back void. We may not see its actions, you know, manifest us with our eyes. We may not see it, but it doesn't return void. Somebody may go home today that was here this morning. They might ask the Lord to save them. They may be back next week and get saved. We never know. But the Word of God is promised that you put it out there and it won't return void. And here Peter, he gets bold and steps up and he speaks and he starts preaching and telling these people, hey, you guys crucified Christ. And when they heard it, they said, oh, what can we do? What shall we do? Oh, man, that's an open door. You know, I love it when I start talking to somebody about the Lord and they say, well, what should I do? Woo, boy, that opens up the whole Bible. Here, hang on. We're going for a ride. Man, you'd start telling them then. You can start laying it on them. He said, what shall we do? 38, then Peter said unto them, repent. You know, really what Peter said is, hey, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He had to. He really did. He explains to them, and we're going to read here in a second, what Jesus did. And he said, you need to repent. Repent of your wrong, the wrong that you've done. And by that repenting, by the way, they're getting saved because they're believing. And he says in here, he says, repent. And then he says, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In other words, listen, you repent, you get saved, then you need to get baptized. That was what, it wasn't something we had to think about. When I got saved, the next step I wanted to do was get baptized. I mean, like now. I didn't need to think about it for a month or a year. It's like, hey, I need to get baptized. That's what he's telling them. When you get saved, you turn around and you get baptized. And that's what he told these people. And he says in verse 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Uh-oh. Maybe it's only a few he's going to call. He's only going to call part of the people in Henderson. Listen. God calls all men. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. It's just up to us whether we accept it or not. He calls all men. And then he said in verse 40, and many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Oh, and I like verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word. In other words, they gladly. Now, if there was any doubt earlier about should I get baptized, in other words, is baptism part of my salvation? If there's any question on whether that's there, it just answered it for you. No, baptism ain't part of your salvation. You don't get saved because you get baptized. Then they that gladly received his word, they gladly received it in, they got saved, it says, were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls in one day. Can you imagine? Oh man, baptized 3,000 people in one day. What dump. You know, you'd get tired. I bet they had them all lined up out there and they were just in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That had to have been they've got a picture in Kentucky, and as Lloyd Sewell was the preacher, he preached a revival. It went for 2 weeks, by the way. Now, we done a revival now for 2 weeks. People think we's crazy. But they still get on with that sometimes in Kentucky. But they got this, it's like 1940-something. They got them lined up at the river. 114 people received the Lord and was baptized. And this picture, it's a neat picture they've got. And it's like, wow, you know? Now, 3,000 souls were added. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Boy, that's a blessing. They came into the church, they got saved, they become members of the church, and then they said, okay, what you guys are teaching us is the Word of God. That's what Jesus taught you, we want to know. Because, hey, they were too stubborn to listen to Jesus while He was here, amen? None of us have been that way. Yeah, Listen, we've all been in that situation where we were too stubborn to listen to the Lord. But you know what? That's a good place. We're going to stop right there, and we'll pick up there probably Wednesday. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Oh no, I got to read this. Verse 43. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. You know what? You think about that. Wagon wheel gets on fire the way this church was on fire for God. They would send out Fox News, ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNB, YP, whatever other name you can think of. They would want to know what's going on. And I'm going to tell you something. All the neighbors around here, they'd be scared to death. They would. They would have fear of what was happening here if we got on fire like them. But that's what we need. We need the Holy Spirit to come, just take control. Allow Him to take control of us. And man, could you see what God could do then? Wow. We've already seen what He can do with some visitation. This morning, oh, the service this morning, I could feel the Spirit working here. The liberty to preach. It was, for a lack of words, awesome. Let's all stand. We're going to have an invitation.